The following is by Elder E.D. Gafford of Alabama.
Done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly shewed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and is true towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. I was reading the first two verses of Psalm 98. And I know I couldn't add anything to what's been said. I couldn't take anything from it because it's the truth. And it has stood unchanged, just as God stands unchanged. Now, this is one of the times and of course that I've ever been. It might not be interesting you people even to hear me try to talk before. But I'm glad to see you people and to see this peaceful unity and the pleasantness of that unity that Elder Lamont has so wonderfully and so beautifully talked about. I think I could see that it's necessary sometime for us to drink bitter water. When we drink bitter water, we can cleanse that distinction of fertility from that and soup. It just don't make it seem like it makes it sweet, even sweeter, if we've had some bitter water. And you know, it's good we have both kinds, I guess. Just as it is, because we have to have it. And I think Elder Lambert's correct that this was the bringing together. Sometime what we call disunity, misunderstanding, people fall out with each other. It's not good, it's not pleasant to us to see them do that, but how pleasant indeed it is whenever they've been removed and they can live together in peaceful unity. And you know, I like to think of that, the old Baptists, if I had the time, I'd just mention this now. The old Baptist is not but a few of us. I don't know whether I say us or whether I'm one or not, but it is, it's a glorious thought to think when I'm not here. And I believe it is to you all to know that this, that the old Baptists in some other parts of the country are dwelling in peaceful unity. And I come over here because I wanted to come. And I didn't come expecting to see any disunity, but to see this pleasant unity. that I have seen. And would like to remember, I'm asking somebody to follow me, and I can't talk no more, but the psalmist here in this Psalm 98, and that last verse that I read the three first verses of Psalm 98. The last one I read, he has remembered his mercy. That is right. And his truth toward the house of Israel, All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He begins by saying, and I've heard it said, the old Baptist, and I used to think that myself, but they sung all the songs in the same tune. We all had the same point. And you know, there's somebody that I like that. I like the same melody. Now they sing lots of different tunes. Lots of different tunes. But it's all at the same level. So it is in singing, so it is in preaching. It doesn't matter where you come from. What your environments have been in life's early morning or in ripe years. All this call of God. They preach the same glorious truth. It doesn't matter what they... And I like what the other hand said, yes, and what all the rest of them said to them. About the difference there was in the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And you mentioned the same thing in some sense to tell. Let one down, but bring another up even, put them all on the level. For God's people, and he said here that all the ends of the earth, I might not get to that, I want to get to that last, have seen the salvation of our God. And you know the psalmist said again that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, every child of God says that. Just alike. Any of them not use the same words, but it's so much alike until you think you got the same text. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, what does it take for the Lord to be a shepherd? Well, you'd have to be a sheep. What does it take to be a sheep? I never know to a... taking a goat and making a sheep out of him, have you? I never know of anything like that. But in order to say the Lord is my shepherd, you have to be a sheep. In order to be a sheep, you have to be made one to start with. Question about that. And all the beautiful, the many parables that Jesus spoke. That might sound like getting away from this text, but it's not. Now, you notice he talk about the sheep. You come to the parable. What better of you having 100 sheep? He didn't say what manner of you have 100 goats. Yet word sheep spells kind of peculiar. Now you can use the word sheep. It means more than it means all of them if there's millions. It wouldn't make a better difference. You don't have to add that S there to get the... You don't have to add the S to get all of them, do you? If you're talking about a goat, you'd have to add that S there to talk about more than one goat. But you can just talk about the sheep and just spell it sheep. It's either singer or fluent in this sense. So then it's they all alike, and it means all of them. And so then in order to say the Lord my shepherd, well, they're not just trying to repeat here, you have to be a sheep. And in order to be a sheep, God made you a sheep. And he done that because he loved you with everlasting love and made choice with you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And so the psalmist in this 90th psalm, he said, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Well, others say they sing old songs. I like old songs, don't you? But the old songs I like is one that's just as new as they're old. Hope you understand that. Well, the gospel today, and the spirit that calls you to sing praise to God, it's just as old as God and just as new as the sun rays on this beautiful sun. Just as new. It's up to the minute. Now we talk about progress. when we talk about praise court getting out of this. I don't know but one thing that will get old and won't become obsolete. And that's this glorious principle of salvation by grace. And God's Holy Spirit is new today. You know, automobiles get old, they get out of date. Like number. And I want you to know that but this glorious principle is old as God. And yet it's up to the minute. That's the most up to the minute thing. They're not any leftover, warmed over sermons. That's a kind of a crude expression. But I don't, just because you preached on something before, you can try it again as we do. And you may not have a life that time. You can't save the sweetness in that thing. They couldn't save the man. So these sermons is all new from heaven. And yet they're as old as God. This is old time religion. And yet it's the newest thing on earth. It's old, but it's not out of date. It's not obviously, it's new. So then that's what the psalmist meant, I think, when he said, sing what? Sing unto the Lord. Sing to who? Sing unto the Lord. And do what? Sing a new song. The new song. You may have sung it yesterday. You may have sung it in the early part of your experience. You may have heard others sing it across the 15 years. But it's just as old today, just as new as it was. What is the new song? Well, the old song. Now, we worship God today, not in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the Spirit. God is a Spirit. He seeks us to worship Him as do worship Him in truth. Not folks He tried to get to. You know how that reads? He said God's a Spirit and seeks us to worship Him as do worship Him in truth. They don't fail either. God don't fail. They got to worship. Do worship. If you think God would seek somebody worshiping spirit and truth, and then they wouldn't do it, I don't think that for a minute. David said, God brought me up out of a horrible pit. He described what kind of pit that was. He called it horrible. Anything that's horrible wouldn't sound very pleasant to me. It said in one place that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Endure, you know, that's something you don't blacken with. You just have to put up with it. You just can't get away from it. Endure. Endure. And so this new song, the old song, talk about old song, and folks who try to worship God in the oldness of a letter and take the letter of the Bible, you could preach that Bible verse after verse, day by day. And if God didn't hear the Spirit, it wouldn't be an ounce of gospel in a million pounds. Just read the Bible in quote, and it's not preaching. Not at all. But the gospel is the power of God. And it's under salvation. Who? To who? To everyone that believes. The same gospel to some folks at one foot class, at one people, it was a stumbling block to another foolishness. But to them that believe, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. This thing that you saw. And you know, the old song, the oldest thing I can think of is the words of men that's been dead all the time and nobody don't know it except folks that's been woke up. You know, that's kind of like talking with other tongues. We hear lots said about lots of jabbing with other tongues. Speaking other tongues. I think God's people are the one people that talk in other tongues. But you know, I believe the gospel's preached all the time in other tongues. The first tongue is the human tongue. The first song is the works of men. It's the oldness of a letter. But the new song, it said, yes, sang unto the Lord a new song, not unto men, but unto the Lord. And sang this new song, for what reason? You've got to have a reason to sing. Question about that, there's a, behind every effect, there's a cause. That cause is God. Why are you going to sing praise to God? Why would anybody want to praise God? Well, he tells us here exactly why. He said, sing unto the Lord a new song. For what reason? For he hath done already, past tense, already, he has done marvelous things. Marvelous. Who done the marvelous things? God. And what he asked, what's he going to praise him for? This new song is to praise God for his wonderful. And his marvelous works, God's marvelous works. If that don't cause a fellow to sing a new song, he just hasn't ever sung it. And the same that God did cause them to sing it. And everyone he said to sing this new song, they sing it too. And they sang praise to God. I haven't heard a missing note. If you'll take that expression, it might not be something, might be a little true. But anyway, everybody I heard preach have told the same thing. Some of them told it in one word language and some another, but to everyone sung the new song. They sung praise to God for what God had done, not for what we had done. We see that even prayer. When the Pharisee and the publican went up to pray. And you know, the first thing I don't think this Pharisee could sing a new song. He sure didn't play it, did he? Because he began to try to inform the Lord of the things that he'd done. You see, the point just as far, one is from the other, east is from the west. And you couldn't mix it no way in the world. And he said he thanked God that he'd fasted twice a week. He'd done what for the Lord, he thought, you know. And that's not all. He paid tithes of all he possessed. I don't wonder where he got his tithe. You know, a tithe, tenth, the other thing is it's one tenth of all of it. Now, God owned the 9 cents, he owned that 10 cents too, didn't he? You go, how could you pay tithe? How could you give God something when it all belonged to him to begin with? That's why, how are you going to pay the tenth now? You ain't going to take anything away from the Lord, not a bit in the world. I'm not worried about that. But now, he thought he had done a wonderful thing. Now, if you're going to base this thing on that kind of religion, he wasn't treating the Lord fair, was he? Because he just gave him 1/10 and keeping 9. Now, that wouldn't be meeting him halfway. They tell us you got to meet him halfway to get to heaven. Now, if you just give him 1/10 of it, you surely wouldn't be meeting him halfway. You kept all of it but 1/10. The Lord would come up short in that case, wouldn't he? But he didn't come up short because he owned all the 10 tenths. He owns the 10 tenths of all things so far as that's concerned. The earth and all that in it is belongs to God. Now praise God. Isn't that a good reason? Isn't it a good reason to praise God because he's done marvelous things? Why, it's a marvelous thing. Just as marvelous as raising the dead. It's just as much a miracle for God to touch the hearts of his people and cause them to know it as it is to raise it in and take the same power. And we haven't got any of it. God had it all. I said, having something taking place with me, more than I could do with any of our other human beings should have done for me. I would have never been able to sing the new song. And I never would have known that God was a great master builder, architect, master builder, upholder, disposer of all things. Isn't it marvelous? Oh, sing the new song, because God has done marvelous things. Hadn't he done marvelous things in your life? Hadn't he been wonderfully good? Hadn't he come to you when it was nighttime in your soul? Hadn't he taken you from the pits of darkness and of sin and dead work? Raise you up above that to sing the new song. Well, God done every bit of that.
We didn't have a thing to do.
All right. Get through this thing pretty quick. You have to get on. Has done marvelous things to us. That's a good reason to praise God. His right hand, notice now, his right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. You notice that? You know, we're talking about the power of God's Bible is about reaching down the hand, catching the lock to the hair somehow. But I think this hand and this arm of the Lord, I think that was Jesus Christ. I think that was the work of God. I think that was Jesus Christ. And he didn't come down here to try to win a victory. He didn't come down here to try to get the victory. But you know, he says just as plain that his, he said just as plain here, his right hand and his holy arm had, in the past tense already so, gotten him. That's the victory we can sing about today. That's some of the marvelous things that he done, that he got the victory. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus didn't die in vain? Jesus Christ did not die in vain. It was cruel. To us it looked unfair. A man without any truthful evidence, going through a court and being crucified, nailed to a cross just because they didn't like it. That seemed bad, didn't it? You know that when Pilate said to Christ, whenever he was on trial in the court, he asked asked him a question, and he was kind of slow to answer. Pilate thought he was slow. And he said to him, he made it plain, Pilate did, he tried to the cry, that sin I have power to release thee. I have power to condemn thee. Oh, he wanted to answer that on me. You remember what Jesus said? That thou could have no power. He answered him then. And he said, thou could have no power at all against me, except to be given these, my brother. Don't tell me God, he did make the arrangements. What the arrangements that God made, it stays made forever too. What's the time that I've already had a sort of saying? That rich folks transacted business, and the poor folks had to make arrangements. So I've always tried to make arrangements. Sometimes I didn't make them. Sometimes I failed. But I want you to know that God made the arrangement. The arrangements and the business still belongs to him. Because he carries on the business. And he made the arrangements because there's nobody else to make it with you. Because the arrangements was him himself. When thee, Lord, sit unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. I believe that was a conversation carried on between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Before the foundation of the world. That we talk about the old Baptist getting too far back. I'm not a bit scared about that. You getting too far back. You know, you got to get back sometime to get your bearings. You got to get have an anchor. You got to have something other. So he made the arrangement, and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. And made his people more than conquerors through him. You were made more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, now that's why we sang the new song. David said, I believe I'm beginning to quote that. I don't believe I've been set up. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. And you know, he didn't say the Lord helped me get out either. You notice that? David didn't say the Lord helped me get out of a horrible pit. But he said he brought me up out of a horrible pit. And he didn't stop there. But he placed his feet on a rock. We talk about the rock of Gibraltar. And this is Stone Mount over in Georgia. It's the greatest rock of its kind in the world. I don't know what the trouble with these rocks. Of its kind I'm talking about. But he wasn't talking about the rock you brought there. He wasn't talking about Stone Mountain. God did make them too. He made the rock Gibraltar just as easy to make that rock as it was to call the sunrise for. Well, to make a plainer saying. God made Stone Mountain. He made the rock of Gibraltar. But I want you to know that the rock that God placed David's feet on, was that rock of eternal ages, on the rock, Jesus Christ, on the rock of revelation, on the fixed work of God and his sovereign power before the world again. That's great to know that God, that is the truth. Did you know, it's a wonderful thing to know about this. What makes it so wonderful that this knowledge is wonderful itself. And the next thing that makes it so wonderful, it's beyond our reach. And we don't know a thing about this, it's God's will to give it to us. And then we made willing to sing the new song and to praise God for all we have in all. When the time comes, let it be soon or late. I know that most of the longest end of life's road to the earth, I've already passed over it. But what would be more pleasant than for God to give us his presence when we come to die? If you could just sing praise to him when we die, and to know that God had gotten the victory. Already gotten the victory for us. It's just as safe now as it was when he first made us believe it. Just as safe as it was before the foundation of the world, that we can rest on this. They that entered into this rest see some of their own works as God did from here. That's why the old Baptist preaches the power of God and denounces the works of men. We are resting. God's people can rest. Rest now on what God has already done. You know, I get tired. Sometimes I go with it. As I come down the great corridor of time, I get weary. Sometimes I think I'd long to go home, but I don't know in the flesh I wouldn't. But sometimes I wonder whether I'd better try to travel on or not. Just about that time, God's made you understand that you'll be safe on this rock, and there won't be any lies on there. That just safe on this rock. And he didn't say he brought this I'm up. He said, I rolled up out of the horrible pit. He placed his feet on the rock. He didn't stop that. But he said he put a new song in his mouth. You notice just how much he did do for David. Put a new song. No wonder that the psalmist could sing this new song. But to God, because he's done marvelous things. He didn't stop at saying he brought up out of the harbor pit and placed his feet on a rock and a new song in his mouth. But even praise to his name. He's done all of that. If God done all that for David, and he was a big, what we call a great king, controlled a great domain, but he's just as helpless as a beggar in his footstool. God had to bring him up, didn't he? The same God that's brought up him hasn't weakened. His power has never waned, and it never will. It's just as strong today as it was. God, you know, anything that's eternal is absent of a beginning or ending. That's why if anything don't have any beginning, don't have any ending, then it's eternal, and that's God. Now we talk about who God is. I used to plow and wonder who God was. Sometimes I wonder now if I know one thing about him. And it is a wonder, it's mysterious. And the depths of this mystery is too so great we can't tell into it and understand all this mystery. The mystery of godliness is just as great as the godliness. We can't understand it. Because it's all God. And God's a mystery. And he's a spirit. But he could just move upon the face of the deep, you know. He could divide the water. He made that too. Weighed the mountain scales. Measure the sea in the heart of his hand. Well, he done all that for David. His own arm in his right hand, holy arm, God has got him the victory. And that's not all he did. Some other reason. There's some more reasons here, too, we'd like to talk about. See, reason is all contained in the same reason. As he said, singing the Lord a new song. Then he said, the Lord. Now, notice how they found out, how you learn about these things, how we know them. The Lord has made known his salvation. Now what is that? That's salvation of being delivered. And if God made known his salvation, I don't see an expression in this I've read that would in the least indicate that man's works come in anywhere. But it's been in there for me. It's been God doing this all the time. All right, then the Lord has made known his salvation. That's why you believe it. Known to you. That's why you mean salvation of the Lord and salvation is deliverance. And you know, I'm glad it means that. I'm glad it's deliverance. You know, if we had this travel before birth, the evidence that you're born, they should live in your car. God's people, they live. Jesus said, because I live, that ye live also. So because that God has gotten us, has gotten him the victory. And because he's made known his salvation, then God made that known. You wouldn't know a thing about it if he hadn't. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. In the sight of the heathen, somebody don't know God. I might have mentioned something about this last night. I don't think I quoted this. I don't know. But the heathen, I don't know if I would be one. If I haven't been, I am sometimes the greatest heathen I know. And to send off over yonder to gather this Bible over there. I believe I said last night, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go on to say that how can they hear without a preacher? You know what number? And now the preacher don't get no job in that thing. Not what we call preachers down here, the little under shepherds. But Jesus is the preacher that sent, and God sent him from heaven. And when he sends him, he gets answered. Though. He converts you. He converts his soul. And he don't fail either. He's as close to Russian and to former as he is to us. All things is open naked before God. And 1,000 years with him is one day. One day is 1,000 as it is as 1,000 years. We'd have to conclude with God that's one eternal now, including this day and us being this place today. It is present with him. There ain't no question about that thing. I'm not trying to get technical about this. I'm just trying to tell you the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, that's the truth. It's the only thing that'll do any good. It's a bad thing. It hurts me sometimes. It's a bad thing I'd like to have made. Just kind of get, I'd like to get around sometimes. If you all have experiences like that, you're caught in a place to where there's real enough talk about this thing. Especially if it's something bad on me, I'd rather not talk about it. But you know it's not hid from God. Not hid from God. He openly, well, didn't he do that? Didn't he openly heal people? Didn't Jesus teach, feed the multitude? And lots of folks stood by and heard the audible sound of his voice and didn't know a thing in the world about what he's talking about. Now, if he'd have been so interested in saving everybody, and I want you to know if he had done that, I'd have showed up like that because I wouldn't have to worry about that. I wouldn't have to worry about myself. But if he had aimed and made the arrangements, say to God, that's what he'd done. You know what I'm saying? But we can prove that just from one word of mouth to another, you can't tell folks about God. Jesus didn't even try to, because if he had, he'd have done it. He'd have done it because he didn't try. Because a rude reed shall not break, a smoking pipe shall he not quench, until he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. He shall not strive nor cry. It's part of that quotation too. He shall not strive nor cry. And his voice shall not be heard in the street. Then a rose reed shall not break smoke and flash, shall not quit. Until he sit forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You know, and so if it sounds just like Christ done what he come to do to me, and I believe it is. And I believe he done that. In every sense of the word. While there was numbers of people heard the audible sound of his voice and didn't believe it, like folks could see that he had power to convert if he wanted to, if it had been his will. You know, folks have been trying to convert the world. I try not to talk too much about other folks, but I thank God there are people among them. I didn't know what happened to open myself because I was steeped in that philosophy. I really was. If I didn't think God could call them out, I wouldn't feel like I had any hope for myself. But their philosophy don't people. They just don't do it. The works of men came good. And God's people's command to come out of it, here's the fathers of Babylon. Come out and be a separate people. And when God calls them, they come to. And so I've heard folks talk about they've been called to preach and went on and never did. You know, I think when God calls folks to preach, they preach. And I believe when he called them to know the truth, I believe they know it. Because God makes it known to them. And the works exclusively of God, not of man. All right. And the righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. If he hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have seen it if I do. Right in the sight of the heathen. You know this place here. God, I believe God makes the soul immortal. We talk about regeneration. We know so little about it. I do. But you know, I think in the process of regeneration, the new birth, I believe the soul of God's people is born again in this world. And I believe it's made holy. And I don't believe the soul of God's people that's been made pure and holy by the Jesus, the work of God's Holy Spirit. I don't believe that anything can ever stand. They won't ever, they'll always be pure. The flesh is not pure, and that's why they're warfare. That's a great warfare. It is said of John Newton when he composed the grand old song Amazing Grace that he was on a slave ship and he was crossing a stormy sea. And during the raging storm, that he quietly composed a song of Amazing Grace. I don't say the sea wasn't stormy and the boat was rocking, but I tell you where I think the greatest storm was, and yet there was a peaceful calm. But the greatest tempest of all was in the heart, the soul of John Newton. He couldn't have never composed the grand old song. And that song's worded right. That's a great song. It rages. It rages so much. But after a while, God stilled the tempest. And then that's deliverance makes known to his people. And you know, he keeps living. I don't mean he's got to die again. He just died once. But he delivered us. And renewed our hope day by day. If we didn't, well, we'd soon forget it, wouldn't we? We'd soon forget it. But then he renewed it day by day. So in that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved the rich like me, didn't try to save us. but saved a wretch like me. That I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Not lost from God, but lost in sin. You weep us all. God knows what he's speaking of all the time. He didn't, he wouldn't know everything, would he? But we've lost from the fold, we've lost in sin. I'm in a place where we couldn't get out of it. By reason of the transgression of the law in the Garden of Eden, and God, I think that was an arrangement that he made true. I think it was, and yet God is holy, and in every sense of the word, all of his absolute is holy. But saved or it's like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I remember with me as a lad, I went to, allow me just to say this, I've gone to and heard this grand old song, Amazing Grace, sang it in the history. Some of it was at Pune. Some of it was old Baptist meeting. I went to Hardshell meeting, and I liked the preachers. And I somehow or another, I could see there's something different to what I had. But I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it. But, you know, they sang it there. It was beautiful to me. But I never did know just what it meant until God taught me it happily has. I remember one morning, once time in my life, and maybe I shouldn't take time to tell this, after all, a night of almost sleepless, after almost sleepless night, I rose, and I'd wondered and I'd worried, and I'd wondered was any relief for me. I don't know, I walked out that morning, and somehow I know the birds in the treetop, in the tree boughs, the birds could sing to me. That song, I mean, it just sung itself. Even the leaves that were fluttered in the wind seemed to sing Amazing Grace that morning. And I thought the birds as they sang. They have never been to New York, nor Paris, anywhere else to take boys. Yet in the law of their nature, God Almighty could cause them to sing. To sing. At one time, no, he was living. That's a bird alone. And I feel like I'm just a... I think I'm just alone. But then, from then till now, I believe that God is in everything. He's in everything. He's in all. He purposes it all. He works it all for the good of his people. For his own honor and glory. And for the lifting of Jesus' own heart. And for the reason that you and each of you, some sweet day, can sing God's praise around his throne in the other sphere over yonder. Will there be no death? Glorious thought is there won't be any fear of them. Nothing to molest or disturb can ever enter that home, this tranquil and serene. All will be peace and all will be joy. That's enough to make us sing the new song, is it not? And then we come on down to the last phase of this, and he has remembered his mercy. You know, that's the thing I'm so glad about, that God has remembered his mercy. Remembered his mercy. You know, I believe God's a just God and a holy God, but he meets out justice, but not what we think justice. I can tell you the truth about this thing. If God had done for me what I thought he was going to do, and met out what let me be the judge, I'd have long since been gone. I'd have long since been plowed in poor domains of a hell that's eternal. A long ago. But God showed mercy to me. Showed mercy to me. But one fellow at one time, he said, if another state don't think he's like us either. But it's all I can tell us, we will. You know, I'll be all the risk in that. He said that over in that part of the country, so you've heard me judge me before, in the state where he lived, not in this state, not in Alabama, but in a kind of faraway state. And he said that a family that he knew well, and that the mother, when the son, I don't know what he'd done, but he violated the law and he had a case in court. And this mother come to him, sit and went to the preacher morning to see if he couldn't do something about that. Well, said, why? I said, is he guilty? He said, yeah. Well, I said, if he's guilty, what you expect me to do? He's done pled guilty and he knows he's guilty. What you think I'll do? What you think I can do? And he said, there's not but one thing I can do. I can just ask the court for mercy. That I'll ask them to show mercy. And that's all that I can do. And you know, I like justice tempered. Don't you, in Hebrew cases? And in the closing phase of this text, God remembered his mercy. Not because a preacher sitting in the courtroom was somebody violated the law, but solely because God. I'd want the best lawyer I could be had. I'd want the best counsel, the best defense that I could have, even though I was guilty and knew I was. But in this case with God, I couldn't send nobody to talk to. I couldn't hire nobody to talk to the judge about this thing. I just had to wait and see if he'd show mercy. No wonderful is this thought. God remembered his mercy. He remembered his mercy, and for that reason, God's people are saved today. Oh, he showed mercy not just once, but time after time he shows mercy to us. And he said here, his righteousness, the Lord, he has remembered his mercy. And coupled with this, he said, and his memory is mercy and his truth. Pilate won't know what is true, Jehovah. The truth about this thing is, it was the Son of God. Jesus is truth. I believe Jesus said something about to this hour. That's the end of our how that read? For this cause came I to this hour. Is that right? I think to this end. And for what reason? To bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is out, everyone that's of the truth, heareth my voice. Heareth me. And that's as good. What better predestination would you want? That's God tearing into effect his will that covers everything. If he couldn't conquer the lust of man and rebellious spirit in man, if he couldn't do that and infuse in your heart that mercy and that love and insert in your soul, imbibe that. Or that the fact that he's the truth, you would never know that he was really the truth. Would you know it? That's what makes it so difficult to try to preach it without the light. It's because that's what makes it so easy for God to preach to the people. I say, what makes it so easy to preach with God preaching through you? Because God knows a preacher. You know, I don't like works much no matter. I think I've always got out all the work I could, make some little foolishness with this. But I'm glad you don't have to work to get to heaven. I might get up too late. I might let the grass get to me. It's in the field. I sure need something undone. And I'd forget. The fellow said once he forgot to remember. And so I'd forget to remember about these things. And so I want you to know that God does remember. He never slumbers. He never sleeps because he's without beginning or ending. He's eternal. Now that's God. In fact, that's the God you people believe. I can see that you believe over here. And when I'm gone from this place, if God will me to live to lead, I'm glad that I can look back and think of you people. How wonderful it is. And the text that the Lamb used. The dwell together in peace with you. How good it is. You know, it's not this. You know, the other folks have been right. We have one sometimes too. But it isn't good whenever the storm is past and there's a calm. And that as a calm that comes after the storm. I'm scared of bad weather. You know, the only thing that gets me by this life, of course, is God. While the storm is on, that I'm just hoping it's God's will for the storm to pass. Let me see that peaceful calm. If in this life only we had hope, have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But if this earth, the house, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yes, I believe this body, that God will do for this body in the grave. I believe you in the resurrection what he's done for your soul in this life. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What you all think about that? Or maybe I better not say this, I knew something more about it. I'm talking anyhow, a thing I don't know about this stuff. But you know, the Father had his land produced lots of fields. His field produced lots. And so much of the didn't know what to do with it. What he said he would, then decide what to do was, to put down his old ones and build greater ones. You know, he said, this night, you remember that? And that's what then I say to my soul, take thy ease. For you have enough laid up in store to do for all these many years. And he was getting pretty well fixed one. I don't want you all. I haven't got time to find out. But I'll tell you what I think about. I know
Yeah.